Been looking forward to this most of the week. Dr. Austin Lane's joining me this morning, Chancellor of SIU. Dr. Lane, how's the job? You know where all the bathrooms are now?
I think so, Tom. Good morning. Good to hear from you again, as always. Appreciate you taking time just to touch base with me this morning. And yes, I know where the bathrooms are now.
and you go out from there until you've learned everything. You know,
that's right.
I was on vacation last week, and I got to be honest with you, I made a very driven attempt to stay away from news, but still I find myself gleaning certain things, usually in the form of headlines. Now, back in July, you and I had a conversation, and you said, I probably shouldn't say this, but I'm thinking we've got a 30%, right? I mean, you literally, I could hear you going, I probably shouldn't say that, but 30% freshmen. So when I saw the headlines, enrollment dropped last week, I kind of thought that many news agencies may have buried the lead.
I tell you what, we're celebrating being down. If you look over the last few years, we've been down minus 9%, minus 12%, minus 10%. We're only down minus 2.8%. That's incredible. That's 11,366 students. But the big news of the day is that we've got 1,361 freshmen. That's a 31.24% increase, which is amazing. And when you talk about trying to grow your enrollment and have a foundation for doing so, we're right there. Better yet, we've got a 32% of our kids are coming from Southern Illinois, from this region. That's 32% of our kids. We hope that number continues to increase. So we're excited. This is the first time I've been at any university where we celebrated actually being down. That's an exciting thing. So hats off to our recruiters. Hats off to our faculty, our staff, our community. For folks that continue to send their students our way, we're excited over here with just being down by that much. And so we're excited, but we're already focused on the next class and the fall of 2021. I've got lots to share on that, too.
Right, because you look at it this way. All right, we'll just look at it in quarters. I know some people stay longer in undergrads and things along that line, which is important. We want to touch on this. But I think this is important a lot of different ways. The freshman class at 31% increase, as you mentioned, as we said, you'd shared that with us back in July and then confirmed it last week. But what starts to happen, Dr. Lane, when we have 31% and they become sophomores and we retain them, and the next class is 30% and we retain them? What that represents, if we look at this as a fuel line, if you will, and just how much fuel is in that line to drive the university, to drive its tuition costs, to drive the local economy, to drive the local housing market, to drive all these other items that go on, including the jobs and employment options that are presented to them. That looking at this as a funnel into a feed line, and 31% is something that really should be pointed out as strategically how important that is to accomplishing the enrollment goals.
Extremely important, and to your point, now you're talking about retention of those students, and our rate of retention of students from fall to fall from the last class we just bought in was 80%. Nationally, you're not going to find 80% retention rates at many universities. The national average, I think, is about 74%. We're at 80%. So, again, that tells you with our faculty, the work that they're doing to teach our students, to connect with our students is critical. They're doing great work there. You've got staff here that are serving students to make sure they get from that orientation to graduation, and that's important, right? So, like you said, so they can get to the workforce and hopefully stay here in Southern Illinois and work and power the economic engine that's down here. And so, you know, we have lots to celebrate. We're looking at this as the glass is half full, not half empty. You know, right. We don't have time to really sit with any old stories about our enrollment is decreasing. You know, we're working hard to try and increase it, and we're going to need everyone's help. I've been saying that on the news channels and now here on your show, and I appreciate you having me. It's going to take a community-wide, regional-wide effort to make sure students select SIU as a first choice, not a second choice.
But you have never presented been a problem like this, and that is that retention number and keeping it at 80% in a time where value is going to be questioned because of the nature of hybrid educations, and being able to prove that value to the students and their parents so that retention number stays high through these in particular times when it comes to how we are educating and not being in the classroom as much. That's going to be a challenge, and that's what I kind of heard in the background when you said, I need everybody's cooperation.
Oh, yeah. You know, I think, too, Tom, we've somewhat underestimated our students and our faculty for their ability to be able to turn on a dime and actually accept the learning environment that is not face-to-face. You know, we're seeing that now. Our faculty have done an outstanding job. Our students have responded very well with coming in. And you know, they're a lot more socially, technologically advanced than we are. And so, you know, they have absolutely no problem sometimes just going and doing things in a virtual environment. And so I look at my, you know, my eighth grader today is at Mass, but they're doing it online, right? Their classes are online. And so even now, you look out a couple of years from now, he's already adapting to what I think will be the future in some cases, which is a mix of hybrid face-to-face and online. So, you know, we're in a new world. We're in a new day today. And we're all having to adjust as best we can. And as I always like to use as a disclaimer, none of us have been here before. Right. So we don't have the magic answer. I've not heard it to this point. So, you know, we just do the best we can and try and do it together.
You know, when it's another thing, when I heard in your voice you talking about we need everybody's cooperation, that little voice back of my head says, you know, there's another area where we need everybody's cooperation, and that's the census and its importance to SIU. That's and right. The community in relationship to the students that are on campus right now, or some that maybe aren't on campus that should be, and how they're counted. Right. This is not just an SIU problem. This is a coast-to-coast problem.
That's right. It is. I was talking to the mayor about that just the other day on our weekly or biweekly call we have with the city of Carbondale and the city leaders that are there, as well as the chamber. And, you know, that is extremely important here. We've got signs on our campus that really push the census to make sure that folks, number one, know what it is and what it's not. Sometimes there's some myths out there about what it isn't. So we wanted to really make sure that our students were aware and that they step up and be counted. And that's even for the community. You know, it's going to mean lots for us here in Carbondale if we get those counts and to get folks to fill out the census. That's going to be a detrimental piece as we grow and continue to try and do some things here to move the economy forward.
It's interesting, if you get a spare time, and I know you don't have much of that, I think on Monday, Brad Cole is going to be joining me, former mayor of Carbondale. He was mayor 10 years ago when there was a believed undercount as a result of students, and they asked for a recount, had to pay for it to get it and get the money back. We're going to be specifically talking about that on Monday in relationship to SIU. Just got a note on the text line. It says, great to hear Dr. Lane again. Good news. Good news always gives us naysayers some hope. And you know what I heard there was, perception is important, and you are sensitive to this too. Matter of fact, I think you have a background in human behavior, don't you?
Yeah, I do.
And with that, yeah, you keep that in mind, that perception, you know, when you understand human behavior, if you can't tell, I'm already trying to go with direction here. You know, when it comes to perception, because human motivation is an interesting item when it comes to dealing with college students who are away from parents their first time, want to go out and do stuff. And COVID-19 spread.
Yes. Yes. You know, that it's hard for students. You know, we all been students before, and we've been in that developmental age range of 18 to 24 and had to kind of find our way through it. That's what our students are doing now, and I totally applaud them here. When I walk across this beautiful campus, I see students in SIU mask. I see them in other creative masks that are out there, and they're trying to do their part. Sometimes the majority doesn't always get the credit. Sometimes it's the minority stories that you hear about where one or two kids did something that didn't make a lot of sense, and we've had to redirect them to make sure they understand the importance of wearing their masks. But our students, I commend them. They're doing an incredible job with complying. We've not had a lot of the issues that you're seeing around the country of noncompliance, I always say that could change tomorrow if students get too relaxed, or if we get too relaxed and think that we're out of this. We're not. We're still encouraging students to wear their masks. We're monitoring that on campus and off campus. I think that's important for the community to know. We changed our code of student conduct up to really allow us to be able to interact with students if they're off campus doing some things that violate the rules as it relates to COVID-19, the mask operation, social distancing, and gatherings. And so we're committed to doing our part here at SIU to make sure that that, you know, we're in the community and making sure that we're not harming the community because we're part of the community.
You know, I find this interesting because I had kind of did an informal poll using my text line the other day after the story about one of the universities, not SIU, I want to be very clear about this, had students violate the COVID-19 policy, and they said, you're off campus and we're keeping your tuition. Now, the initial messages that came in, that's wrong, that's wrong, that's wrong. But as it went on, I saw it begin to shift as our listeners started saying, look, were the students aware they would lose their tuition if they behaved in this manner? Did they sign on? Were they aware? Then they know what they got themselves into. But still, you got that two schools of thought. Where is the line when it comes to behavior in SIU, when it comes to potentially contaminating a dorm or whatever the case, or breaking the rules? What are the standards there, Dr. Lane?
Yeah, it's clearly spelled out, and we try to do a really good job of that before students return, so they understood where the lines are. And so when you understand where the lines are, it's a little easier, even though it's painful. If students have to go home because they violated the code of conduct, and take the pandemic off the table, let's go back two or three years when we, or, you know, a couple of months when we didn't have this. If students have to exit the university, there's never a refund that's there, because if they had to exit for any kind of disciplinary reasons, then, you know, we just separate from the student, and hopefully there's a developmental or learning opportunity there, and it's not punitive. And that's the same approach here, even in a pandemic. And so we really encourage our students to comply with the code of conduct, keep themselves safe, don't do anything that's going to harm themselves or others. And you know, they'll have a great experience here, even in a new semester that we've never seen before.
Tuesday, I was talking with the CEO of SIH, Rex Buddy. He was pretty excited about one subject. I could hear it in his voice. The ability to be able to do in-house 1,000 tests at SIH. And then I learned about the $2.8 million grant yesterday from a partnership between the Jackson County Health Department, Southern Illinois Wow. Healthcare, and SIU on testing and bringing testing to the county and the campus.
That's right. I tell you what, hats off to Rex and Woody and Bart, all the folks, Jackson County Health Department. That is a game changer for us. We struggled, just being real honest with you, back in the summer, because we didn't have any relief in sight. You know, we couldn't do and test everyone. We didn't have the resources like many other universities. They didn't have it either. And so we did the best we could in trying to kick off the semester, and our student health center did an amazing job, but they were only testing students that had symptoms. And so to have this kind of support come in, it allows us to exhale, because we didn't have it. And so hats off to SIH, Jackson County Health Department. This partnership is going to be an amazing one on Monday. You know, we can't wait to have it stand up on our campus. That's going to be a big deal. All faculty, staff, and students are able to get that test of no charge. And we're just excited to continue to add more pieces that will complete this puzzle, hopefully at some point where we can get out of this. But right now we're in it, and so we're trying to do the best we can to navigate through it.
All right. As Dr. Lane said, Monday, September 14th, this grant will allow SIH to begin twice weekly on-site testing on the SIU campus beginning this Monday. Now, here's the other thing, because you were talking about, you know, we're trying to play catch-up. Efficiency and volume are really what we're talking about. The speed in which the test has come back and the number of people you can go through the testing process. I still have some qualms about testing. Well, if you're testing and you see this much percentage because they're sick, well, of course, they say they're sick. That's a lot of this up for debate and interpretation, and is being widely interpreted in many different ways. But the fact is, you got to start somewhere. You have to get your feet underneath you when it comes to controlling this. And, you know, I can't help but think when I read the story earlier this week, Bradley, and I looked up, I think the latest enrollment records I could find that were reliable was 2012 for Bradley, and that surprised me. I think it was 5,476, something like that. But imagine keeping 5,476 people locked down for 2 weeks. Good for if you have the food delivery business contract, right? But, you know, when you look at the mechanics of that and what it would take for SIU to be able to do something like that, that's one of the reasons why when you have a comparative analysis, Bradley, SIU, look at what this represents for SIU as opposed to what's going on at Bradley this very moment.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. And it's so hard because you look at other places, and not to disparage any other place, but it really is comparing apples to oranges based on the student populations, based on what they actually have in place, what they're working on. So it really makes it a little difficult. Our hope for the test is that at least if you want to be tested now, you can. And from there, it allows us to be able to trace and make sure that others are not impacted once we know that we have some positives. And so the real story here is what happens after the test.
Yes.
Right? It's to make sure that students comply, or faculty and staff, even if they're positive, comply with what's in place in regards to whether it's isolation or quarantine, and then making sure that we don't continue to spread. So wearing masks, washing our hands, social distancing. You know, we don't want people to get too relaxed just because we have tests now. And that's our fear, is that, that's a great thing. We have tests that are coming on Monday. We're excited. But, you know, we don't want to get too excited here just because we have these tests now. We don't want people to drop their guard and do some things that could harm or impact others.
Right. And being able to get the tests back, SIH indicates they will have the results within 24 to 48 hours. This is an important point.
That's big. That's big for us. It's big for our campus community and our community because, again, like I said, we're able to do some things to hopefully mitigate the spread of what's out there if more people know that they have it. And so it really helps us all be a little more responsible and, again, not let our guard down, but really make sure that we're doing our part to stay safe.
Before I let you go today, we talked about retention of students, being able to provide a service that they see, right, and they know is going to, it's what they want. Maybe there's an expectation there. Maybe there's a career promise there. There's a sense of fulfillment. And people, right, when you do look at survey information, as I know you're already aware of since we talked about your background in human motivation, people, the number one thing, they do it for money. No, they don't. The number one reason why people do things is sense of fulfillment, being committed. Money comes in like second or sometimes third. And I feel that's important when it comes to students as well, because they know what this thing it is they want to do. Maybe they want to be an engineer. My dream job, right? If I could go back and be 19 again, I'd be signing up for your engineering department, man. I'm telling you, I'm signing up now.
Right. We got a great one.
Right. That's but, right. And I used to talk about one of your predecessors, Walter Windler, who was a very good associate and friend of mine. And we this came up in conversation, so I want to throw it at you once, because we're talking about retention in this concept, being able to keep people here and keep them engaged. Which is the better teacher, the teacher that fails a lot of students or the teacher that passes everybody? Which one's the better teacher?
I tell you what, that's a tough question, because the classes that I've struggled with, I learned more in those classes and didn't have a passing grade, you know. So, you know, those professors were filled with rigor and the amount of knowledge that I needed. And it, sometimes I didn't put all the work in that I needed to actually get the grade that I needed. Then I've had teachers, as you've indicated, that are, you know, they may be a little easier or easier to understand in terms of getting the information and in the way that I like to receive it, whether I'm a visual learner or an auditory learner or a tactile learner. It just depends on how I was receiving it. So I think to your point earlier, it's really about the retention piece for us is about pride. And it's about making sure students feel good about where they are. Making sure that students know that we're here to support them. And then most importantly, making sure they know that when they get their degree from SIU, it's got all the credibility in the world to be able to lead them to a job. And that's the end goal that parents want to know when I talk with them, is if my student or son or daughter's coming to SIU, are they going to get a quality education? Are they going to be safe while they're doing that? And are they going to get a job to get out of my, you know, out of my wallet or pocketbook?
Right.
Is really what they're looking for. So if we can accomplish those things and we have succeeded and our community and our brand does exactly what it's supposed to do.
But you rose to the challenge. When I listen to you, you say, but these were some of my best teachers. The challenge. And I was talking about this earlier. Tom Miller's rule for life number four is like, human beings are not defined by success. They're defined by adversity.
Right. That's right.
And
it's a challenge, and it's preparation.
Yeah.
You know, it's how you prepare. And when we have our students in our university success course, that's an entry level course, we talk about that, you know, with the time, preparation that it takes for even a three-hour course, how much homework and how much studying is required for that particular course and their other courses. You know, managing their time, making sure that they are going the extra mile and reaching out to their professors, especially in those tough courses, to just say, look, I don't understand, or I need a little more help. And that's going to be provided to them. That's one thing I've seen in my short time of being here. Our faculty will bend over backwards to really help students succeed. That's their ultimate goal. And so And that doesn't mean it's going to be easy all the time, right? So no one rises to low expectations is really the model I've always prescribed to. And so we keep the expectations high. We don't water it down. And they'll appreciate that when they get out of here and work for corporations, because those corporations will say, wow, those SIU students know exactly what they're doing. That's what we want to accomplish.
I look at it as the inverse bell curve. You come out and you think, I know everything. Right. I've learned everything. And then you realize, oh, my God, I don't know anything. And then you see the bell call go all the way to the bottom. But they've got that education. So when they come out of the bottom of the inverse bell curve and come up on the right, they go all the way up because of where they came out right at the beginning of the bell curve. You know everything. Then you learn how to apply everything. And then the education reaches its fulfillment. So they really very often don't learn what they've learned until much later. I've seen this in a lot of SIU students that I've trained or worked with professionally over the last 44 years. You see the people who didn't get it and the people who did. And then once you realize you don't know anything and you start to reapply everything you've learned, you become the person that you've been waited for and the person that you paid the tuition to become.
That's it. That's it. Well said. I tell you what, Tom, the way you broke that down, you ought to be over here teaching or something.
Well, an honorary doctorate wouldn't go bad on the wall, I'll tell you.